Hello, I am Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown-Up Storytime, the podcast where I read my current works in progress, as well as from other selections, and we also have a little bit of chit-chat and wine time about the writing process and books that I love. Thank you so much for joining me today. Look at that. The old lady with the microphone made an introduction for herself. Oh my goodness. Of course, you know what this means now. Now I have to take the time to cut and paste that sucker into every single podcast so that I look all professional. Yeah, I'm not guarantee that happening. Today we have a guest reader for you. She is going to read from Sophie and Micah, the dark chocolate version that is up on Wattpad, as well as Literotica. I could chit-chat and stuff, but I just did a whole thing, and I don't even remember. You know, I need to take notes. I say this every freaking time, but I don't know what I said and what I haven't said, and I don't want to bore you. So I just hope that you really enjoy this reading. Hold on, because when she gets to the part where she's reading Micah, she hits every stinking note. She did perfect. You know how I read, and I always complain about my own reading because it's really hard for me to read because I feel like a preschool teacher trying to read sex scenes, and my characters are much more, they're just nothing like me in real life, people. So anyways, I'm going to cut and paste her reading onto this, and I really hope you enjoy it. I have three chapters for you, and, we'll get chapter one up tonight. That is the plan, and we'll see about what happens next.
Sophie and Micah by Isawellen. Sophie didn't feel the sting of her skin knee until she was standing still, waiting for a bus that didn't seem to be coming. She reached down to scratch an annoying tickle, and her hand came back sticky with just enough blood on the tips to make her stomach twist. She was such a weakling when it came to the sight of blood. Ever since third grade, seeing Jimmy Porter's nose bleed, watching it drip down his face in a fountain, she just couldn't stand it. Yet, she'd earned that skin knee. So worth it. She'd gotten some fantastic photos on an old vintage camera. She was sure of it. It was a risk, using film, but the payoff would be so good. It was going to be awesome to see them come to life in Mrs. Arcady's darkroom. She knew in her gut that what she'd found would be worth a place on the Lost Places website. She wasn't a photographer, but she loved history. Had been obsessed with abandoned, lost, and neglected places since she watched a documentary of them at 10 years old. She'd taken her photos on black and white film with a vintage camera and its two vintage lenses. There was no guarantee the planning she had put into making this day happen would pay off. But at least she'd done it. At least she'd managed to come here, to this side of town, and to see herself, to see for herself, the loss and waste of the place. It was worth a scraped knee. And a bruised arm, and losing her coat. It was worth all of it. But where the heck was the bus? Her phone had gone dead an hour ago. She tried to protect the charge, but her mom called her, and she left the map on so she wouldn't get lost. Now it was done. Finished. She'd made it back the 2 miles to her starting point, but the phone was dead. She'd be okay if her mom hadn't taken that money for her new battery. She'd still be fine if Katya hadn't gone through Sophie's hiding spots and found the extra cash, the extra just-in-case money. Sophie could swear her mom could smell cash. No matter where she hid it in the apartment, Katya found it and took what she said she was owed. When the child support check stopped coming, she'd given Sophie two choices. Pay her way, or give her room up to someone who could. Not only did she take Sophie's paychecks, leaving her with just enough for the college food card and bus fare, she also felt entitled to the tips from Sophie's job. With an assignment due, Sophie had come with a sack lunch, her bad phone, and her bus pass, determined to satisfy the itch she'd had for 9 years. The last bus came through this part of town at 6. She planned it perfectly. There was an express at the transfer station. There was an express home at the transfer station. They ran till midnight on Fridays and Saturdays. She should have time. It should be here. It would be fine. The day had been mostly hot and muggy. The October evening was turning cold, the sky dark and looking like rain. She'd lost her jacket somewhere in the afternoon, after eating lunch, when she got distracted by one great shot after another. Tee and capri jeans were not great wear for rain, but the bus would be here before that. She looked down the street. Earlier, the one mini market left standing on the street had been open, oranges, apples, and tomatoes out on display. All that was pulled in now. The windows shuttered. The laundry and junk shop were closed too. The liquor store was still open. She could go in there, make a phone call, but she'd have to get past the two men sitting right outside smoking, who hadn't taken their eyes off her since she'd come to the bus stop. Who could she call? Her mother would be so pissed Sophie had disobeyed and come to this side of town. A waste of time, a waste of energy. If Sophie had free time from a short class schedule on Fridays, she should be working. Katya, who had two jobs, would be pissed if her night off was ruined. She was seeing Kevin, or Javier, or maybe she was back to steal again. But either way, Mom wasn't going to want to drive into the no man's land part of the city to pick her daughter up at the last bus stop back to civilization. No idiot came here. How could Sophie be so selfish, so stupid, such a waste of breath? The rant would go for hours. Sophie felt like success of this whole thing meant her mom never, ever knew about it. She'd walk home first. Other than the blinking lights on the liquor store and those men, the street looked deserted. Most of the businesses were boarded up, closed down. There were some apartments where people lived above, the noise of their lives muffled by their old brick facades. Occasionally, she heard yelling, music, a baby cry, but the sounds felt like they were leaking through cracks from another world. Where was the bus? She tugged at her lanyard with her bus pass and house key, adjusted the bag with her camera, all the soon-to-be amazing photos and her two precious lenses inside, looked down the street and saw nothing. Instead, she felt the first fat drips of rain. Worth it, worth it, she told herself as the sky opened up in one of its typical rain showers, soaking her to the skin in minutes. I'll give it 5 more minutes, then start walking. She knew the general direction of the big transfer station. Buses ran till midnight. Sophie waited what felt like another million years, feeling the sky darken, watching the shadows deepen, before she admitted defeat and put her foot off the curb to cross the street to the liquor store. She pulled it back quickly as a car came around the corner. A big, old, gas-guzzling black tank of a thing, older than her and her mom put together, but well cared for. Its paint glowing with blue-black paint, the rain beating on the hood. It was loud and showy, and Sophie instantly shrank away from the danger it represented. This was not a good part of town. Written up several times in the newspaper as the lost part of the city, local citizens could barely get any kind of public services here. Criminals ran this part of the city. People complained that it took 2 hours to get a police car, if they showed up, and just as long for an ambulance. God help them if anything caught on fire. Proud of herself, she'd gone to the streets that looked like war zones, with burned-out cars, gang graffiti, husk of buildings with crumbling walls and roofs that looked punched in by angry giants. Sophie found beauty in the ugly. She had shots of children playing in the ruins of the grand buildings. A second set, she hoped and prayed, turned out of an old lady with the most beautifully tragic face, dressed in garbage bags, dressed more in garbage bags and rags. And the last, Washington School, built in 1943 and abandoned in 1980, with the book still on the shelves. Sneaking into the abandoned, condemned school had been terrifying. She jumped and twitched, afraid an alarm would sound. But the thing she'd seen, the photos, such a fantastic day. The car slowed. 2 men in the front seat stopped right in front of her. The window rolled down, slow and old-fashioned on a hand crank. Sophie loved vintage things, old things from the past that seemed better put together and more lasting than phones that were dinosaurs in 4 years. She didn't know anything about cars, other than there was a time they were made of more metal than plastic, and had human-powered windows and seats. She watched the window, fascinated by the movement, and not the lean guy with the long nose and buzz cut who leered out of it in her direction. "Hey," he started in English, looking her over from head to toe in a way that instantly put her on her guard. Switching to Spanish, he spoke with a drawling slowness, giving her a broad leer, leaving Sophie no doubt what he must be saying. The driver's side door opened with a creak, a sound that made it seem old, strong and heavy all at once, and the driver got out. "Quit it, jumper," he said as he stood. "Little girl, what are you doing?" Sophie almost looked around. Little girl? She was a college freshman and not a little girl. Maybe he meant size, because even next to the old car, the driver looked big. His hair clipped like the other guy. She saw tattoos and muscles and little else. They hadn't done anything, but statistics and warnings rushed through her head. Every article and documentary she'd studied about this side of town. Lawless, gang-ruled, muggings, random beatings, human trafficking, drug deals, territory disputes. "Bus," she squeaked. "It's 6:30. No bus around here past 6. And it's Friday night. A lot of time they don't go past 4. "Schedule says," she managed. He was easily the most good-looking man she'd ever seen. But coupled with that height, muscles, tattoos, and unfriendly expression, Sophie could barely talk to him. Blue eyes and a tan face, lips too plump and sensuous for the masculine jawline, tattoos creeping up his neck. "Schedule shit," he clipped out, like the idea disgusted him that she would trust a posted schedule. "Someone coming for you? You call, what the fuck are those guys you hire?" "UberX," his friend supplied the answer. "Okay, I'll do that," She waved the dead phone in her hand at him. Thanks. He stood there, watching her. The guy in the car leered. The driver, he just watched her. She felt her face redden, suddenly ashamed and embarrassed. Sophie found he was too good to look at. The type of guy who always made her uncomfortable. Made her eyes slide away. His t-shirt had some kind of faded design, but it was tight across his chest and to the curves on his upper arms. Those muscles were pronounced, like he worked at them. And his thigh muscles looked thick, straining his jeans. He'd have no trouble picking up the front end of this tank of a car, if he wanted to. They needed to go. Now. Why weren't they getting back in the car and going? I'm okay. Thanks. Call, baby. She blinked at him. Baby? Had he just called her baby? She was going to die. Her face was red, her heart going even faster. She should run now. It was a good time to give up on the bus. A good time to start walking. She looked at the liquor store. Back at the car. Back at the liquor store. Its yellow lights blinking. Suddenly, a beacon of safety. In spite of the obstacles seated out front, watching the show. You can go. I'm okay, Sophie said. Call. Now. He had a deep voice that lowered with the command. She could almost feel it inside of her. She didn't know what to say. She couldn't tell him her phone was dead, that she had no money for an Uber X. She couldn't tell him she didn't want to call her mom. Katya's wrath was a fate worse than death. Do you know the kind of fuck shit you're in? The good-looking guy asked. Wincing at the rough sound of him, she took a step back. What had she done? Why was he cussing at her? Jumper, get in the back. He said at his passenger. Micah, what the fuck? The passenger twisted to look at tall guy. Back. Jumper opened the door, leered at her again. Pulling his gangly body out of the car and into the back seat, leaving the front door open. The driver came around the front of the car, getting bigger with each step. There'd been a couple of tall sport guys in high school she'd had classes with who made the teachers look like stick toys. This guy was like that, only more. Confidence, aggression. He closed the distance with a few long-legged steps. Panic set in, and she gathered herself to run. 5 steps, canvas shoes slapping the wet pavement, and he was on her. Thick tattooed arm, wrapping around her middle, lifting her up, her legs moving, kicking wildly, but her body stationary. She must look like an absurd cartoon character. She must look like a girl in big trouble. Fuck no, little Starlight. I don't think so. Where are you going? He asked, holding her off the ground with one arm. The thick bar of his forearm dug into her ribs, under her breast. He was touching her, holding her. She kicked, trying to get that arm off her. A scream escaped. His free hand came up, covered half her face, blocking off all her air. Shaking her twice, hard, he said in her ear, knock that shit off, right now. No one will help you. Not one motherfucker on the street is going to help a little bit of lost Starlight like you. You don't belong here. Why are you here? No phone? No money? Are you insane? Never touched like this. Just picked up, shaken and silenced. Fear washed over her. He sounded like a beast who had caught a trespasser and was now going to throw her in his dungeon as punishment. Mouth and nose covered, she couldn't answer the accusations or take a breath. Her mind blanked, that rich, dark chocolate voice becoming the center of her world. I'm not going to hurt you, unless you make me. I'll lock you in my trunk if I have to. Because you are not staying here to be gang-banged by the dogs watching from the windows. Don't scream again. And don't run away on your short little legs. You'll only piss me off. Giving her another shake, he sat her down hard on her feet, so she had to hold on to him to keep standing. Please. She let go of his heated skin. Step back, step back. Shaking now, from the fear adrenaline, with no idea what to do. I'm wet, you're soaked, my leather's getting wet. I don't have time for this fucking crap. Get in the car. I'll take you home. I don't want that. Just leave me alone. She tried to square her shoulders and tell him off, but they were standing in the rain. She couldn't make her spine straight, much less meet his eyes. No, baby. That's not how this works. He took her arm in a firm hold. Sophie yelped. A half scream that echoed down the street and made him look at her in warning. Hand on her head, he shoved her into his car, closing the door behind her. Hola, pretty girl. What's your name? In Spanish came from the back. Sophie pretended she didn't understand him. She pretended this wasn't happening. Was she being kidnapped? Was he going to hurt her? Do things? Make her do things? The big cab of the car shrank in size when the man, Micah, climbed in. Even though the stick shift separated them, the seat was one big, full thing, all the way across the car. And she felt it along her body when he settled himself into the leather upholstery. She couldn't take it. He was too much. This man could crush her. Scrambling, she made to open the door. No! He barked at her. His hand came down on her thigh in a painful, loud slap. Sophie gasped, eyes tearing up instantly from how much burning hurt she felt through the worn material of her capris. Don't, please. Turning her body to face a threat, she pressed against the door, as far away from him as she could get. Not far enough. He easily reached across the seat to her face, caught her chin, forcing her eyes to his. They were granite, an intense, pale, light, blue-gray, surrounded by tiny broken wrinkles etched in the skin at the edges and long eyelashes. Dripping confidence and authority, his hand was firm, almost painful, his control over her absolute. Stop it, he said carefully, like speaking to a stubborn child. Dropping her face, he turned the car ignition on. Not messing with you. You don't belong here. You're dog bait. You think I'm bad? What about 10 guys like Jumper here riding your ass all night long? You want me to leave you here to be played with hard? That what you come down here for? You hit me, Sophie accused. What was happening? What was he going to do? His words said one thing, promising help. As if he was saving her. Was he saving her from an attack on the street? Or was he taking her so he could attack her himself? There was a laugh from between the seats as his friend poked his head forward. 10 guys like me, boss. No, there's only one short guy with a big dick on this street. I'd fill her. He didn't get to finish. The driver pushed him back. Shut it, he told his friend. Back to Sophie. If I hit you, you'd have a broken neck. I won't hit you, but I will spank that sweet ass red to teach you to listen. She felt that warning like a stab in the gut. She did not want to be in the position with this stranger where he could spank her. Putting the car in drive, he pulled out into the deserted street. She felt his eyes go back and forth from the road to her and tried to make herself small, unnoticeable. "What's your name?" he asked after a moment. "I live in Hillbrook." "You're going the wrong direction," she said quietly.
"I got something I need to do before I turn around."
"Hillbrook.
That what you want me to call you?"
"No. Maybe I could just use your phone."
He sighed. "Glove box."
It took her a minute to figure out the catch. He didn't offer any help. Just kept his eyes on the road, like he wasn't noticing her fumbling to get his old-fashioned glove box open. Inside was a phone. The cheapest thing she'd ever seen. But it worked. She dialed her mom, who didn't pick up. Sophie hung up without leaving the message. Her mom never checked them anyway. Micah asked.
"No answer?"
"She must be busy."
"Who's she? Your mom?"
Sophie nodded without thinking. He made a bearish grumbling sound, his light eyes narrowing in on her from a face that was neither African-American, Asian, or Mexican, but the most beautiful parts of all three. He didn't seem aggressive. He didn't seem interested in her. Not like the guy who was leaning forward again, trying to get his head between the seats.
"Ooh-wee! This is some fine jailbait we got here."
"Jumper."
"Shit, man. I just want to talk to her.
Let me get to know her before she gets all crazy-eyed over you.
Give me a chance, man."
Jumper was not ugly, but his attitude was 100% sleazeball, and he'd lost all chance the minute he looked her over like she was dinner. And Micah, well, he just forced her into his car.
"Sit back, you idiot," with some ugly cussing as Jumper pled his case.
"Jumper,"
Micah barked, making Sophie jump. His eyes cut to her, then back to the road.
"I need to tell you again, bro. We are going to have words."
"Fuck. Fine."
Jumper settled himself in the back seat, hard, like a petulant child.
"I gotta do this thing."
He pulled the car over into an alley, parked it. It was darker now, the rain coming down harder.
"You're gonna come in with us, I think. I don't want you running off or some shit. You do what I say. I'm not going to hurt you. You're going to come in the building, stand where I tell you, and not say anything. 15 minutes. Then we come back, you try your mom again, okay? You can hold the phone if it makes you feel better. Hey, give me my coat, Jumper, yeah?"
He reached an arm back, brought forth a leather jacket, handed it to Sophie. He commanded.
"Put that on."
"I don't. Thank you. I'm fine." She didn't want it. Heavy and huge and distantly masculine. She didn't want it near her. In high school, wearing a guy's clothes implied ownership. It was a big thing. All the girls trying to get their boyfriends' jackets or hoodies, even their athletic sweatpants. It had been a ridiculous competition of sorts, and Sophie, with goals for her life, had wanted no part of it. Girls would do anything to get a chance at the stuff belonging to the best-looking guys. Born to a teen mom herself, Sophie had no intention of repeating that mistake. She was going to be independent, get a good job with a retirement plan included, and take awesome pictures as a side thing.
She didn't need no boy's jacket. She didn't want this man's jacket. Even if she was shivering from the rain, from fear, from this whole stupid situation. How had she missed the bus? Baby. He pushed the coat at her, his voice lowering with warning. You do what I tell you. Put it on. I don't have time for this shit. She wanted to melt into a puddle of fear. She put it on. He helped her move her braids out of the way and gave her a smile of approval. Good girl. For some reason, that smile on his full lips, the brightness of his blue eyes in the darker, warm-toned skin, those words caused a hot blush and set loose nervous butterflies in her belly. Jumper cursed from the back seat. Fuck, Micah. Do you need to own all the pussy in town? Faster than she could process, Micah's hand shot towards the back seat. Jumper made a noise, a gasp, then more cursing. Sophie was afraid to turn. Had he hit his friend? It sounded like he hit his friend hard. What's your name, little girl?
Sophie.
Sophie. He repeated it back warmly. This is Jumper. He's a dick. I'm Micah. Not gonna be a dick to you. If you do what I say. Okay? She couldn't look at him. Drowning in a jacket that filled her senses with his smell, trembling because something was happening here, and she didn't know how to stop it. How to wind back the clock, make the bus come and take her away. He got out of the car, making it rock on its axles when he shut the door and came around the front to open hers, helping her out like a gentleman from a movie, making her get out. He stopped her in front of him, tipped her chin up with a finger, and gave her another smile of approval, a reassuring, good girl smile that made her feel nervous and happy and crazy. You do what I tell you, yeah? He made her meet his eyes before dipping his, so he could fasten and zip up the jacket. Then he reached down, took her small white hand into his brown one, swallowing it in the big paw, tugging her close like they were familiar, and he could do this, would do this, whenever he wanted. They parked in an alley between buildings. The place felt as derelict and forgotten as most of the buildings in this part of town. They went upstairs into the front door, pushing the heavy thing open, into a skinny hallway. These incredible brownstones were historic treasures, badly kept, in desperate need of restoration, with iron pipes, asbestos, and lead in the paint. Built in the early 1900s, the place groaned out their history with each step they took inside. Sophie was good at looking past the neglect and use, to find the touches of original crown molding, the fancy woodwork on the stairs, broken in places, yes. But she could see the old beauty of it. She ignored garbage, including drug needles and broken pipes on the floor, and found the pieces of parquetry flooring. Distracted, she looked around her at the past as Micah led her up a flight of stairs to the second floor and a closed door. Led her to a recess in the wall where she thought a chair or something might have once sat. Stay here, Sophie. Don't move. Not one step. Okay. She didn't know what else to do. She wanted to be on a bus home. She wanted to turn invisible every time he looked at her. He called her little girl, but his voice, his eyes, said he saw her as a woman. Terrifying and exciting, she didn't know what to do with that. This was not the kind of attention she wanted from anyone, especially an older guy she knew nothing about. And this world where he lived was dangerous. He'd already hit his friend, and she didn't know why. The two of them now knocked on a door, pounding hard. Hey, Diaz, I got some fresh stuff. Let me in, man, Jumper said. Jumper, A man on the other side answered, with muffled cussing. In the alcove, Sophie couldn't see anything. The door was unlocked and opened. "Micah!" the man yelled in surprise and fear. Then Micah and Jumper were pushing into his apartment. Cussing, yelling, and violence followed. Sophie had been slapped more than once on the face as a child, familiar sharp sound from the other room. Hands of flesh caused Sophie to flinch in empathy. There was a loud crash. The floor trembled. She could only imagine it was a body sent flying.
"You got 24 more hours, and I know your sorry ass isn't going to get it done,"
she heard Micah say with a growl. She could feel it in her belly. The door was open a crack, letting the noise of their conversation into the hall.
"I'll get it done. I'll take care of it. I told you I would. Just haven't had a chance. I still got time."
The man inside sounded winded and afraid.
"You still got time. But if I don't get the call tomorrow, and I have to take care of it, I'm taking out all the trash this time. You understand me? Not just your brother, the whole fucking family. All of your worthless shits, weak-ass cowards, and I'm done with you."
"Micah, they didn't..." Another blow. Another slap. It had a weird impact sound. A fist in the gut or face, Sophie didn't know, but it sounded like something from an action movie. The door was open. She could hear most of the sounds, clearly. Sophie inched out of the alcove. Was he beating that man to death? Should she hide out here and do nothing? Another door opened down the hall. More male voices. A different set of men talking loud and arguing. Their words drenched in violence. Some of these buildings had double exits. Maybe there was an old servant's stairs on the other end of the hall. Maybe she should try to leave. No matter what he said, Micah wasn't helping her to be friendly. Another blow inside the apartment. Groans of pains. "It sounds so ugly." "Did I say you could talk? You had your chance. Your brother had his, and your father had his. Every one of you cockroaches. No more talking. Get it done or I will." Micah's angry voice. She passed the open door to get to the other side. She told herself she wouldn't look in. Wouldn't catch their attention by watching them. But stupid her. Her eyes went to the interior of the apartment. Micah behind him. Jumper with his hands on the stooped shoulders of the shirtless skinny guy on his knees, and blood. So much blood. The instant she registered the sight, she could smell it too. Her throat closed, her stomach convulsed, and she was going to throw up. Micah had caused that violence, speaking threats. She made some sound, and he turned, saw her, bent over, mouth open, watched as she choked up her lunch. He moved in front of her, blocking the sight. Sophie spit and choked the stuff in her mouth and throat, in her throat and mouth, onto the floor. Cold sweat popping out on her face, she flinched when his hand came out, curving the back of her neck.
"What a bad girl you are, not following directions, staying where I put you."
A distressed sound escaped behind the hand wiping at her mouth. What was he going to do? Would he beat her now, like he had the guy in the apartment? Was he going to hurt her? Why was this happening? Why had she come to this part of town? There were no good answers. She could barely form rational thoughts, as panic filled up her bloodstream like acid.
"Breathe in through your nose, little starlight. You aren't meant for this. Should have stayed home today, yeah?"
Latching onto the contact of the hand at the back of her neck, to the voice in her ear, so close, she could feel his hot breath, Sophie did as she was told.
"That's it. In through your nose, out through your mouth."
He brought her forehead somewhere against his body, heat and hardness under a clean t-shirt.
Each inhale filled her senses with the smell of him, but she couldn't stop. Instead, grasping at his directions like a lifeline, she liked things simple, with step-by-step directions. When she put the ingredients together at the bakery for chocolate muffins following each step yielded the best results. Deviation resulted in a mess and a waste of ingredients. When she followed her teacher's directions, she got good grades. When she did what her mother wanted, she avoided slaps, hair pulling, and red face yelling. Clear instructions were good, necessary, important. Sweet Starlight. That's right. You should listen to me. That's your last chance now. You see what happens when you don't follow directions? You made yourself sick. Saw shit you shouldn't. That can get you killed in this world. You're going to do what I say, aren't you, baby? Panic receding, she looked at him, biting her lip. His finger touched the corner of her mouth and pulled it free, touching her, like he could do whatever he wanted, and she would just accept it. His whole hand engulfed her jaw, a finger brushed over her wet cheeks. She was wet from the rain in her hair, yes, but also wet from fear-filled tears. Such a pretty baby. Standing too close in her space, he whispered low, "Too good for this place, aren't you? Too young and innocent for a dirty man like me." Two hands on her neck, collaring her, making her feel oddly calm, as his thumbs brushed up behind her ears, hot and callous palms held her there for a heartbeat, branding her skin, looking into her eyes. No one had ever touched her like this. It felt intimate, deep, and raw, like he was taking control, taking all her options and choices away. He took her hand again, tugging her behind him, down the hall, and away from the apartment with impatient strides. "Come on. You need to try your mom again. Let's get in the car." His friend Jumper didn't come with them. Micah opened the car door for her, helped her in. Then went around the other side. The brisk instruction came before he even sat down. "Call her." Was he angry with her? She didn't want this guy angry. Not after what he'd just done. What he was obviously capable of. Why was he angry with her? Sophie dialed the number again. Mom's nights off were sacred. Sophie, a shy introvert, whose best friend since ninth grade now lived in California, had no place to be on Friday nights but home. She worked 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays at Bun Bun's Bakery and Coffee Place during the week, had classes after, and kept weekends free so that she could keep her grades up and hold on to her grants. Her mother assumed that she would be home. Never checked on Sophie. When Katya was drinking, she turned her phone off and put it in her friend's purse to keep herself from drunk texting old boyfriends. Her mother wasn't expecting a call for help, because Sophie never needed help. It rang and went to voicemail, twice. Should she text? Could she say something that would make her mom come to this part of town and not be explosively angry about having to bail Sophie out of this dumb situation? Looking at the driver of the car, she debated the message. Micah was a dangerous unknown. Her mother's bad temper was a dangerous certainty. Katya wouldn't know Sophie had deviated from her regular plans and come to this part of town. Her mom's anger would have no end. She might decide to make good on her threat and kick her out of the apartment. "No answer?" he asked, holding out his hand for the phone. "No," Sophie answered. Micah held out his hand. "Give me." She clutched the phone to her chest, tried to think of something to say. He just looked at her, hand open and expectant. Dangerous speaking glance that reminded her He'd been... Danger speaking glance that reminded her she'd been told to do what he said. Sophie moaned and felt fresh tears. In this car, with an unpredictable, scary, and dangerous guy, she felt more stupid and helpless in this moment than she had in her life. But she gave him the phone anyway, too afraid not to. He threw it out of reach in the back seat. "Why you come to this part of town, Sophie?" he asked. The low sharpness of his voice was not politely conversational, but instead sounded angry, exasperated. His coat was on over the top of her camera bag, but she hugged it to herself in reassurance. No matter what, if she survived, the photos were good. She was sure of it. Photos. I have a photography class. It was an assignment. Teacher assigned you to come here? An eyebrow went up. She didn't know if he meant disbelief or outrage. No, I always wanted to come here. I did a photojournalism essay in high school, but didn't get the kind of pictures I wanted then. The abandoned part of the city, it has so many stories, hard times, good times from the past. I've been planning to come here for a while. This part of the fucking city for pictures? Who wants to see that shit? No one cares about that. That's exactly why, she frowned, ready to go into her whole passionate argument. Alone? Did you have to come alone? No boyfriend to drive you out? No other older brother? What about your dad? No decent friend? The question made her blush. She felt the heat on her cheeks. She shouldn't have come alone, but there was no one to bring. Was there? She shrugged and looked at her lap, not wanting to admit to him how few people she had in her life. Words, he demanded. I live in Hillbrook, but you can drop me off. Okay, just... Leave a little white kitten like you in this hellhole for the dogs to come and gobble you up? Baby, that isn't happening. They drove a bit. The street lights here didn't work. Lights glowed through windows. Studded bursts of life. They passed an area that smelled like a garbage dump. She remembered it from the bus route. A strip of houses, where people had just decided to start leaving their trash when they didn't come to pick it up, or they couldn't pay the bill. And then, 5 minutes later, a liquor store, and more lights, street lights that worked as if they'd crossed a boundary. She didn't recognize this part of town. It was different than the bus route. He pulled up to a lighted storefront with a blinking sign that said 24 on it. The car stopped and Sophie didn't know what to say or do. It looked like a restaurant. She had no money to pay for food. He got out of the car and opened her door again, giving her no choice. She tried to decide what to do as they went inside, his hand firm but painless on her arm, directing her where to go. He led her to a booth and sat her down and slid in next to her. A skinny boy her own age came over, and Michael ordered without looking at Sophie. The waiter walked away, and she watched his back, feeling like her last chance at help was walking away. "Please, I don't have any money. What are you doing?"
"Getting food. I'm hungry." "You're hungry? And you're gonna eat. Are you the kind that won't eat in front of a guy, want a salad? So I can pretend I didn't see those tits and ass?"
Sophie didn't know what to say. She was so out of her league. In school, the boys had been rude, but they didn't talk like this, every word a raw confrontation. He shook his head, laughing low to himself. His shoulders bumped hers.
"Shit, baby. What the fuck were you thinking? I say tits and you look like you're gonna throw up. You need a keeper?"
"I don't need a keeper. I can take care of myself. I just missed one bus," she told him, mumbling into the coat. She went to unzip his jacket,
take it off. Maybe she could hide in the bathroom and he would just leave. He wasn't the type to do that, though. Just walk away. Not when he forced her into his car, made her go with him into that building, brought her into this restaurant. "Leave it on," he said. "What?" She glanced at him, found her eyes captured by his light ones. They were blue with a dark ring around the edges, but the warmth, caramel of his skin made them stand out so bright. "You didn't hear?" "I'm hot. I want to use the restroom. I'll just take it off, okay?" "No, not okay. Leave it on. You gotta pee? The bathroom's in the back. Go now before the food gets here." He was a force of nature, far out of her experience. So far. She knew he wanted her to listen to his directions, and when she didn't, bad things happened. He caught her when she tried to run, shook her when she screamed, slapped her on her thigh when she tried to escape him again. He also opened car doors, was nice when she got sick from the sight of blood, and said things that made it sound like he wanted to protect her. She didn't understand him. He got out of the booth and stood waiting for her. "Okay." She went to the bathroom, unzipped the damn jacket because it was too huge, covering her butt, and the camera bag was in the way. When she went to the sink to wash her hands, she looked at herself in the harsh white light. Her platinum blonde was still wet from the rain. The two braids she liked to wear, still cold with it. Her own expression looked frightened and weak, and she wanted to yell at herself to do something until she saw her shirt. Her pale pink t-shirt, still damp from standing in the rain, clinging to the upper slopes of her chest. Her white cotton bra damp enough that she could see the pink of her own nipples. The old bra was thin and worthless, barely gave the support she needed, and with the rain, she might as well not be wearing it. He'd seen. They'd both seen. The whole street had seen. Embarrassed, ashamed, she zipped up the jacket. He stood when she came back to the table, letting her know where he expected her to sit. She scooted into her place, looking at the cheeseburger, fries, and strawberry milkshake he ordered for her. Trapped by him, his body a giant slab blocking all escape. She could barely see around his broad chest. His tattooed arm brushed hers when he took a bite of his own burger. It looked so small in his hands, but huge in hers. She focused on the food, trying to figure out what to say, what to do, what was going to happen. He seemed to finish everything in 20 bites. She wasn't half through hers when he asked, "You're not in high school anymore? You don't look old enough to be on your own, to be out on your own." "I'm 19. "Fuck, 19? He said it like he didn't like the answer. "Not in high school? But taking photos for what?" "An art credit. I go to community college." "Yeah? College girl. What are you taking besides art credit? "I'm going to be a pharmacy tech." "Sounds exciting. Something brave for a little girl who takes a bus to the wrong side of town to get photos of how the other half lives." His voice held all kinds of sarcastic snark. She didn't know if he was making fun of her education, of her choice to take pictures by herself in a dangerous place. She watched him snag one of her french fries and jerked her eyes to him. "Are you going to take me home? What is happening? Are you going to let me go?" His big hand caught her wrist, her own french fry lifted in the air. He brought it to his mouth, lips enclosing it until they touched her fingers, soft and warm. "I don't know, Sophie. What is happening?" he said after a swallow, still holding her hand. "You come to the worst part of the city,
for a sweet, young, innocent thing like you. A little kitten wandering where the worst of the mangy wild dog packs roam. You come here to take fucking pictures? You missed the last bus because half the time the bus doesn't run. And now you're stuck here. No phone, no money, and your mother doesn't even know where you are. Does she?
Sophie whimpered. She couldn't help it. His eyes burned, making her want to run, but there was nowhere to play. There was no place to run. He was a thug, probably a gang member, something bad, older than her, somewhere between 25 and 35, because he'd left all the weakness and softness of boyhood far, far behind. The kind of man that took what he wanted and didn't second-guess himself. And he wanted her.